Hey, welcome to Resonate's Sermon Q&A podcast. We are so thankful for the questions that have been submitted, and we look forward to what God's going to do in our time together. Now, let's begin the show.
Hey, welcome to the Summer Q&A podcast. I think this is our fourth one, and we are excited today to talk about conflict resolution. So, hey, as we get started, I just want to introduce the panel here. My name is Jim. I'm the executive pastor here at Resonate, and this is...
Andrea Marquez, and I'm the minister of our Res Kids ministry.
Yo, yo, I'm Yvonne, and I am the minister of equipping.
What's up, friends? Christopher here, Oakland campus pastor.
Oakland campus pastor, love it. So thankful that you guys, we could be here today and just enjoy this time. I have really enjoyed this podcast series. How about you guys?
It's been super cool, super interesting. It's like, let's freaking go.
Yeah, and some good feedback. So I hope even as we start talking today, please share this with your friends, because we would love for this to, you know, impact more people in the Bay Area. And don't forget to go listen to the sermon. I thought our pastor preached an amazing sermon this week. What was, you know, as we get started, what was your one takeaway from this sermon? Do you have anything that you would say? Here's my one takeaway that, you know, God really left me with the thought of if it is possible for God to resolve the conflict between me and him, like he can resolve any other conflict in my life. And it just gave me tremendous hope, just remembering that I'm at peace with God. And so, you know, there's, I think there's a few relationships that I gave up on ever resolving conflict over. Wow. And that caused me to hope again. And I was so thankful for that. So how about you guys?
Yeah, I would say it struck me and convicted me so much that conflict is not primarily about the other person, but me. Like, to look within first before I look and point the finger, it was really convicting and I think really helpful to handle any conflict I'm in. So,
yeah, I think it was hope for me too, like you were saying, Jim. And also, not only is that generally where I land, it's also that I don't have my sermon notes in front of me. And so I can't remember exactly what my takeaways are.
That's good. Well, I remember just the last 5 points that Pastor Ryan had left us with, the application points. And I thought it was great. One of the ones that he said was that we can even just rest in our gospel identity. And so I think in conflict, it's not about winning, but it's about, you know, just fighting well and conflicting well, you know.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so one more quick question before we get into the questions. What kind of conflict person are you? Our pastor gave the illustration at the beginning of a stuffer, a peacemaker, a lawyer, or a shelter. So which one are you guys?
I'm a shawyer. Like, I think I don't realize I'm shouting sometimes.
I'm not sure if
sometimes.
You can say that on the podcast. I'm not sure if that word is allowed, but yeah.
I have a really loud voice, and so I think I'm shouting a lot of times when I don't realize it. And then, I think it's that combination of, like, lawyer to trying to, like, really analyze and pick things apart and try to win that way, or in the very least, like, excuse myself.
Yeah. What about you, Christopher?
Yeah, I would say lawyer stuffer. I would say when there's conflict with me and my wife, I'm quiet. I stuff it in. But then the moment I see an angle or I can, like, oh, I can get through this or I can win this way, it's easier for me to go that way. So,
guilty. Sounds like a sniper.
Yeah.
Don't. Not that that's one of the four. But.
New one.
Yeah, a sniper. I like that one. Yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm also a blend of two, probably between the peacemaker, or I guess Pastor Ryan called it the peacemaker. That and a stuffer. I feel like those go hand in hand, because at the end of the day, it's just all about avoiding conflict is my natural tendency.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I really don't know which one I am. So can you guys guess which one I am? Just the three of you know me pretty well. So any thoughts on it?
I think you're probably like me. You're probably like a mix.
Yeah. I think I am too.
Yeah.
Like, it just depends on which day and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you're more a little bit more lawyer than shouter.
Yeah. I don't imagine you being a
I'm
shouter.
Probably like a little bit
I'm
more
shouter.
I'm
not a
shouter. Oh, you're not a shouter.
No, I'm not a shouter at all. But yeah. I'm
if
sure
you
my
shout,
wife gets
I would cry.
He doesn't have joking face on.
I'm laughing. We're laughing together. I mean, it's always good to start a conflict podcast with laughing. So, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good. Okay, well, let's jump into our questions for today then. And I love this first question because it's more of a peaceful question. And I love whoever asked this question, so helpful. Is there such a thing as good conflict? How can we learn to fight well, that's in parentheses, so that we can have more than superficial peace in our relationship? So what a great question. I always encourage young couples who are getting married that you have to learn how to fight well. And I say, hey, you need to learn how to fight without hurting each other, which I, and maybe that word fight is not the right word to use, like discuss things well, like learn how to take care of one another well. And so I think this is a really important question to answer. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think it's beautiful because the idea, the answer underneath that, I think one of the remedies is to engage conflict, not avoid it. Yeah. That's good to conflict. Yeah. I think the easiest thing for me and probably most people is just to avoid it. We might not all call ourselves stuffers, but it's just easier to run away from the hard conversations. And so anytime you engage conflict, most of the time it's good conflict more than not because you're actually engaging it. I think the negative is just running away from it. And so the first step, I think, was just if you're going to fight well, actually talk about the things that are bothering you and you can sense between the parties versus acting like it's not it and then exploding.
I think part of it too is, you know, is there such thing as quote unquote good conflict? And I think over the years, Jesus has taught me to see conflict as good. Not in and of itself, but to the degree that it makes me need him, that's the good part of every conflict, even when the conflict is maybe something we would classify as bad. And so I think that has helped to really like change my attitude toward conflict. Because when you already think something's a nasty poopy diaper, you're just gonna like turn away from it. You're not gonna want to address it. And so when I see it as, okay, as much as I wish this wasn't here, what's good about it is it's making me need him. And so it helps me to go toward it.
That's great.
Yeah, I agree as far as, like, I don't know that there's such a thing as good conflict because that could be very subjective where it doesn't feel good in the moment. But I think even just to answer that question, I think, one, we have to also just understand that everyone is sinful and selfish and sees things, you know, their way. And it is easy to, like, rub up against someone that sees things differently. Yeah. So I think it's just conflict is unavoidable, you know, in all of our different relationships. And so even understanding from that perspective that we will need to show grace to others and we will need to receive grace from others. And that's one of the ways that we can handle conflict well.
So three of us are married. Yvonne, you're the single lady amongst us. Yay. We're so thankful that you are here adding your perspective because it's so important. And I'm just wondering, like, how have you guys learned how to fight well in the relationships in your life? Like, give us some pointers here.
I think, so we always hear, oh, like, give grace to the person, give grace. And I think in the name of that and me looking for shortcuts, I will just use give grace as a way to, like, stuff. And I think at the end of the day, it's like, what is, like, grace really? And like, yeah, Jesus came to reconcile all things to himself. And so I think that in going toward people and for me to even use this meter of, okay, I'm trying to give grace to this person, but it's staying with me. I keep thinking about it. When I see them, my behavior is different toward them. And that means I have been unable to give them grace. So I need to admit my weakness that I can't give them grace anymore. And so it's like calling upon the Lord. And my next course of action is I want to move toward like approaching them about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think about the idea that Pastor Ryan said at the end about absorbing, like overlooking and absorbing. But I just want to read this verse. I think it's really helpful. There might be a misconception that I've learned with conflict about absorbing it means it bothers me, but I don't say anything and I don't address it. And that's harmful. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with one another. And if one has a complaint against one another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So it's not, I think the way I've had good conflict is it's not just stuffing it down or absorbing it, but it irritates me. It's actually absorbing it and actually forgiving that so I can move past it in a healthy way. Because if we don't, then actually it's going to irritate us even more. And I've done that where I didn't forgive. I had a complaint and it made it really hard. And so I think the best way for me is if I have to address it, I will address it. But most of the time, if I have a complaint, I need to actually apply God's forgiveness to that so I can move into like a reconciling relationship. So,
yeah, for me, one of the things that I'm trying to be more intentional about, especially in this season, as I'm even just learning and trying to be more aware about myself, is something that Pastor Ryan had left us with in the message this weekend about owning our share of the problem. Yeah. You know, and so even when there is a conflict, especially between like my husband and me, I'm trying to think through like what part did I have in this? Like maybe it was my body language, maybe it was a comment that I had made, or maybe it's my attitude in something. And so I'm always just trying to pray for just God to give me awareness and like what I could have contributed to the conflict that we're in.
Jay, just out of fun, like what percentage is your husband usually wrong and what percentage are you usually wrong? Like, can you like?
Michael, I feel like I should decline to answer.
I'm trying to stir it up here. I love it. I just want to add a couple things to that. Christopher, the verse that came to my mind was Ephesians 4:26, where it says, in your anger, don't sin.
That's great.
Mm. So, you know, God's saying it's okay to be angry.
Yeah.
But there's a way to be angry and not sin.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, that's part of it. So, you know, a couple of things for Heather and I that we have learned over the years is sometimes you just need to stop fighting and deal with the issue later because you're so emotional in the moment.
Yeah. So good.
You know, like it's wise to just say, let's take a time out because we're really going to hurt each other in this moment. So let's take a time out. And let's come back to this in a few minutes, like, or in a couple hours. Mm-hmm. We're not saying we're not going to deal with this, but we are saying, boy, both of us are heated right now. We both need to just go for a run, need to take a nap, whatever we need to do, just to chill out. So I think that's helpful. Another thing that was really helpful for us was let's go to a coffee shop and fight there. Because you're not going to say, you're going to be very careful in a coffee shop, right?
At least for yourself. I am.
Yeah, because I want people to like me. So I'm like, I'm going to be polite to my wife in public.
Yeah,
and so, you know, sometimes it's helpful just to get out there. And then the last thing that I think has been really helpful for us is we like to define the problem as it's over here. It's not between us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we'll actually like take an object, a physical object, and say, hey, this issue is over here for us right now, but it's not between me and you. So I really like you a lot. I'm just struggling with this over here.
Mm-hmm.
And so my wife and knows that I like her, and she knows, or I know she likes me, but we've got an issue to resolve here. And I think that's really important just to think through that. Now, there is one more verse that I think is really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
This is also in Ephesians 4:26. It's not going to bed angry. Have you guys ever heard that?
Yeah.
And I think this one is kind of misunderstood in the Christian world. So how do you guys deal with the don't go to bed angry?
Wow. Well, I have gone a bit angry, so I don't know. Lord, forgive me. I think there's times where I've gotten a bit angry, but I've addressed some part either in my heart with the Lord saying, I know my next step, like I know what I need to do. Or like you said, Britt and I have talked and we're said, okay, we've gotten some kind of progress in this. We can't figure it all out. Or it's not like we need to go because we're heated. We just don't know the thing that's going to help right now. We got as far as we could. So, and I'm not like angry, like I'm so angry, but there's something there. And I think the Lord sees our hearts, like we're trying to make progress. We just hit a wall. And so it's okay. Some of the best things to do is to go to bed on that kind of note, because we don't want to keep frustrating ourselves or making something up that's not there. So,
yeah.
I think it's like even the difference between like ending in hope versus anger. And I think, sometimes you just literally do need to go to bed, and that would help everybody. But are you going to bed with that resolve of hope versus like, I'm going to bed determined to still be angry about this? And I think that's how I see that.
Yeah. For my wife and I, we got to the point where a lot of times we knew the conflict couldn't be resolved, but we knew we liked each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I like you. But we still need to figure this out, you know? And so we were able to go to bed, not angry, but also not having it resolved.
Right.
And there's a big difference there, you know, and just giving each other grace in that moment, because I like to say sometimes the godliest thing you can do is go to bed.
Yeah.
Like take a nap. Like it's helpful to just calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And to realize, and you know, honestly, I mean, we've been doing this podcast for 4 weeks and the questions have been amazing.
Yeah.
Some of the problems and the conflicts that we're seeing in each other, and some of the conflicts in my marriage, I confessed this when I did the marriage sermon series, or the marriage sermon, was that some conflicts are resolved easily and mm-hmm. some take 2 to 3 to 5 years to figure yeah. out. And so you have to like each other while you're trying to figure out how to fix this problem.
Yeah. When I was in college, and a friend would come to me saying, hey, like, I had this fight with this person, and it's always over, like, AIM, at the time, the AIM chat. And I would always ask, like, what time did this happen? And it's always 2 a.m. And it's like, man, you should have just been sleeping. Like,
nothing good happens.
Nothing good happens pretty much past yeah. midnight. I know yeah. there are some night owl people, and I get that you might be functional, but most people, like, even the night owls, like, I don't think anyone thinks super duper well at 2-3 a.m.
Yeah, my kids tell me, like, after 7:30 I turn into a pumpkin and it's time to go to bed. Like, they're like, nothing good comes out of your mouth after 7:30, Dad. So, you know, I love it. That's really helpful. Okay, let's go to the next question. It says, this one is, I haven't talked to my parents for over 10 years because of a conflict between us. Do you have any recommendations for reconciliation or redemption and redemption process? Boy, that's a hard one. Not talking to your parents for 10 years. And I don't know, just reading into that question, I sense a lot of pain. So anybody got any thoughts on this one?
For me, I know, so before I was a believer, and that's important because I did not understand just the grace that God has extended to me in forgiving me. There was a season where I was just upset with one of my parents, and I purposely did not want to talk to this parent. I avoided the parent. And I just remember, like, just feeling so angry and how that just took so much from me, you know? And it wasn't until I read a verse in the Bible about, you know, to the degree that we understand God's forgiveness for us, that helps us to then extend forgiveness to others. And I just felt so convicted in thinking about, you know, the way that I have treated, you know, my parent, and the conflict that, you know, I allowed to just seep in and grow weeds in my heart, and just feeling that. And so, I mean, for the person that had asked this question, or even, you know, for the many people that even voted up this question, my heart just goes out to, you know, just wanting them to, you know, seek reconciliation for themselves, for the parent, but ultimately because this is what God wants. Like, we are mm-hmm. ambassadors of reconciliation. So then what does that look like to, you know, be slow to speak, quick to listen, to die to ourselves, to oversee offenses, to extend grace, to want to learn, you know, the other person's side of things. So yeah, just all of that is so important.
Yeah. I think just super practically too, man, 10 years is a long time, or just even if it's been 2 years, that's a really long time. Right. And I think it's been helpful for me to just unpack what, and with someone, like, I can't do this by myself. So whether that's been with a therapist or a trusted friend, mm-hmm. What am I hoping for in like going back toward my parent? And am I looking for them to say sorry for every single thing that they've ever done? Like, is that where salvation lies for me? Mm-hmm. Or is it in, I just want relationship with them again.
Yeah.
But if it's at a place where the venom is still so much there that you're looking for them to pay for every single thing. Mm. Like, we don't get to sit in that seat, right? And that you're already going to just be jumping on every single thing that your parent says. So I think it's just unpacking, like, what are you trying to gain from even, like, going toward that parent, being aware of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to follow up on that. Like, as a pastor, I love to talk to people who are in this situation, love to process, love to work through those kind of things. So a pastor is a great help in this, a counselor, a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I think after time goes by, you begin to caricature the other person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And almost everything they do is wrong at mm-hmm. that point. And yeah. so it is, I think those are really wise words, Yvonne, of just getting to the actual issue,
mm-hmm.
going like, what was it? And then what are your expectations coming out of it? Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
super helpful. And by the way, to all of our listeners, whether you go to Resonate or not, like, our pastoral staff, our ministers, our elders, our missional community leaders love to help people with these type of things. We even have a counseling ministry. You can find those resources on our website. We have a marriage ministry. that loves to help marriages with conflict. So please go to our website. It's resonatemovement.org, and you can find all sorts of resources for this. And we, as a church, we love to help. Doesn't matter if you're a member here or not. Doesn't matter if you're a giver here or not. Like, we just love to help people find the gospel, the grace of Jesus, and reconcile relationships with one another.
Amen. So,
yeah,
Amen.
Come on in. Okay, let's go to the next question then. It says, how do you know when to speak up and when is letting things go too much? So somebody want to rephrase this question? Maybe, how do you guys hear this question?
I think it's similar to earlier of just like, how do you know, like, when you approach something and when you just like give grace? It's kind of like, how do you know when to actually approach the conflict?
Who's it? Christopher, are you going to sing the Kenny Loggins song? That
I was really hoping Pastor Ryan was singing it.
Yeah. I know. He has a great singing voice. So, you know, I've heard him sing songs like that before. So, yeah.
I think just from my personal experience, and maybe we've already said this multiple times, but it's so helpful. If you cannot live with absorbing that thing, you need to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's just helpful. And it might be, if you can't compare your grievance with someone else's grievance, your sensitivity into what grieves you is not comparable to someone else's. With trauma, with your experience, the way you see things, your personality, something might offend you that might not offend someone else. And that's not license for you to hold it and say, well, I shouldn't bring it up then. If it really is bothering you, stirring up anger, frustration, that's a good sign to address it, even if it's small, because it's going to grow.
Yeah. I think too, just working through it and saying, is this a moral issue? Is this a preference issue?
Right.
You know, my wife and I had a ton of arguments about being a morning person or a night person.
Wow.
And finally, one day she said to me, hey, being a night person is not a moral issue.
Mm.
You know? And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's true, but that's not really helpful. Because now I just lost the argument, you know? But yeah, but it was really helpful to me. And, you know, I think Romans, I don't know, reading like 13, 14, 15 of Romans really helps us to deal with preference issues.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And who's the more mature one when preference issues go away? But, you know, also Hebrews 12, 14, make every effort to live in peace.
Yeah.
You know, Romans 12, 18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace.
Mm.
So I think, you know, I think what you said, Christopher, is really helpful words. Like, it is good to push into things that you're going, I can't absorb this. I need to deal with this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's also the saying around, like, you know, choose your battles. I feel like that kind of goes in line with this question. And kind of like what you were saying, Pastor Jim, about, like, is this a major issue? Is it a minor issue? Is there something in me where, like, am I the common denominator in all these things? Like, maybe there's an awareness thing that I need to learn about for myself, or I'm just being nitpicky about every little thing. And that's possible because I'm an Enneagram 1 and I want things done a specific way, you know? But my husband has to live with that, you know? And, but anyways, all to say, like, yeah, I'm trying to be mindful of, like, yeah, choosing my battles and being careful not to just be nitpicky over every little thing.
Yeah. And I think for me, my journey at Resonate has been just getting way more emotionally aware. I was almost completely emotionally unaware when I first came to Resonate. And I can't tell you how many, like, brothers and sisters I've relied on who, they knew there was something with, they had some ought with me, or I said something that rubbed them the wrong way, and I had no idea.
Mm.
And they, in just like loving me because they couldn't absorb it, and also just loving me, like, they told me about it. Mm. And so I think that that verse that Jim just said of the Romans 12, 18 of, like, yeah, if possible, like, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with others. That's like talking to the person that is offended, not necessarily the offender, because I think it's really rare where someone goes in saying, I'm going to say something on purpose to, like, cause conflict with you.
Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah, James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And I love that idea of what you're talking about, is you're becoming aware of the idols of your own heart.
Right.
And why that is stirring you up in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's fantastic. Okay, let me go to the next question. We actually got quite a few questions about church leaders and church conflict. Mm. So I want to jump into that. What if the source of conflict is the church leaders confirmed by multiple members throughout the year? The domineering pastor leaders show patterns of conflict. The next question is, what do members do with pastors and leaders in position of power that gaslight through scripture? Ooh. And then the next question, this just keeps going. Mm-hmm. How do members call out a respected and gifted pastor leader that use their positions of power to silence members that have conflict with them? Boy, do we think that churches and pastors deal with conflict well? I guess there's a lot that have a problem.
I think I just want to just acknowledge that there's been a lot of like church hurt.
Totally.
And it just sucks because whether you've experienced it here at Resonate, whether you've experienced it at churches that you were previously at, like the second you experience it, you're going to bring that with you to every church that you're a part of moving forward. And I just have a ton of compassion for that. I appreciate that. Our listeners just decided to dial into these questions.
Can I say too that as a pastor, I know I have not always handled conflict right with church people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's a massive apology coming from me in this. And, you know, learning, I think the older you get, the more you're willing to just be quiet and listen.
Yeah.
But that's taken a lot of years to figure out. And I'm still not that great at it. Just ask my wife.
It's wild. You look at the tabloids and media and you see pastors blowing up and doing these kind of things, right? And you're like, I understand how they can do that. I would never do that. And let me just tell you, when I became a senior pastor and I got a little bit of authority, I could see in my heart glimpses of what they did. Mm-hmm. Like I could see the tendencies, the tip of the iceberg. And so I was like, not that I'm excusing the hurt they have caused. People have caused real hurt. That's why Jesus says, don't lord over people like the world does. Serve differently. Yeah. But let me just say, when the authority is dangerous, especially when it collides with the flesh and in sin. And so there's so many things that we try to do at Resonate or different churches where you try to put safety nets around people with encouragement, accountability, plurality, so that it doesn't happen. And it still leaks out because we're sinful people, but the hurt is real. And I think it matters more in churches because you're supposed to say, man, I trust this person. They are supposed to love me and care for me. And so it's a shock when it happens.
Yeah. So how do you go about confronting a pastor?
I don't want to over churchy this, and if you guys know me, that's not my mode, but honestly, like, starting with praying for that pastor or elder that is like hurting you is huge, because for every person that I have not naturally liked and I decided to start praying for them, it took them from them being like a turd in my mind to an actual person, and it helped me go toward them. And when I've prayed for a pastor, I tend to have the problem of seeing them too high instead of like too low. And so I see them too high because I have all that authority. And in praying for them, that also brought them down. And it brought them to be a normal person too.
Right. Pastors are not Jesus. They point to Jesus. Right. Or they're supposed to.
Yes, they're supposed to. And man, like I also just shudder for that because I know just how God is going to deal with them way more severely, but then how does that give like hope for now? But I think that in as you pray for that person, like I know that the Holy Spirit will give you the gumption to move forward in whatever your church process is, and we can talk about what our church process is, or like just the wisdom of like what to act, how to field when other people are sharing those similar things with you.
So I just want to point us all back to Matthew chapter 18.
Yeah.
Because that is the passage. It's verses 15 through 20 when you're dealing with conflict. And it basically says, hey, go and talk to that person individually. Like, it doesn't need to be a public issue, and see if you can work it out. And then if they don't work it out, then take another person with you. And then if that doesn't work, then you need to go to the elders of the church and actually say, hey, we've got a problem here because this person has offended, they are hurting me, they're hurting others, and they're not willing to talk about it. And then the elders of the church are supposed to deal with it. I think this is why it's really important to go to a church that actually has a good plurality of elders. And by plurality, it is literally that, plural elders. Like not one person who's in charge that makes all the shots, but
not yes men.
Not yes men who are just going to protect, but, you know, somebody who says, no, we'll get to the bottom of this. You know, now two or three have come. You know, it's not just the word of he said, she said. It's not that. But we're getting to the point where it's like, oh, this really needs to be dealt with now. And the church needs to respond to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's like so good that we have both like staff elders, like mm-hmm. people who are part of our church staff who are elders, but even more so, we have a larger number of non-staff elders so that there can, that just helps lend to that plurality that you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, what we mean by elder, you know, there's really three offices in the church. One is member, one is deacon, and one is elder. And the elders are the ones who are called to shepherd the flock. They're called to actually lead the charge. And so that's the group of leaders in that position. So going to them and saying, let's deal with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for the women out there who just whatever your like past has been and just like the wounds that you have, I understand that going to an elder, especially, because it's a man, might be like scary. And so that's where it's like, yeah, we would understand if you didn't feel like you could approach him on your own. And so, yeah, like, come get me, come find me, come get your MC leader, get one of the women leaders in the church. And I can say from personal experience that we're not seen as any less with like respect or authority on staff than the men are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So there was a word in here that I'm not sure if all of our listeners might understand because I had to look it up. Gaslight. So Christopher, what is gaslighting?
Yvonne, can you?
We were literally just talking about this.
Right.
I don't have a great definition for it, but I can talk through like what the effect of being.
Well, whatever you say, convicted me because I've done that before. So
take it.
Just out me.
Yeah,
just
no, for sure. I don't know a single person who hasn't done this before, but I think when it talks about a repeated nature of the way that you communicate with someone, they always leave. They like say I came to you with an issue. And then I would leave thinking like, wait, I think I'm crazy for even thinking that way, that you could talk to me in a way that makes me question myself, makes me think it's my fault, and specifically that there's nothing wrong with you and that it's like all on me. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Oftentimes gaslighting is when a person throws attention to a different issue.
Mm.
They're not answering the real question. Mm. Like, you know, you confront and they're like, well, what about that over there? Mm. And they're trying to, you know, and so it just kind of flips the tables back on you.
Yeah.
Mm. And you walk away feeling like you're the broken one in the relationship, even though, and that's a really hard place to be.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, people in a position of power oftentimes, like you said, Christopher, they manipulate that power. And that is definitely gaslighting. So, yeah. Have any of you felt like that's happened to you before in a church?
No. I think it's, so has the act, I think it's really important to make the, to distinguish between when you have felt that way on an occasion before versus you're repeatedly feeling that way. Kind of like the definition of bullying. It's targeted, it's repeated. That's and I good. Think gaslighting has that same thing. So I think sometimes we're so quick to call something gaslighting when it's not because it was like a single instance. And then all of a sudden we put that entire narrative of, oh, that person is a gaslighter because they did that to me once or twice versus, and I think that's unfair too.
Mm. Yeah, so what would the advice be to a person who is in a really authoritarian church?
Mm-hmm.
They've lived out Matthew 18. They've confronted, they've brought two or three witnesses, and they've just really struggled, and they continually get hurt in this church. Is there any advice for them that you guys would give?
Yeah, I would say if you've gone through all those
mm-hmm.
prayerfully, it's hard because you want to, I think someone would say, I want to stay here so that I can expose this. Or I should stay here because Jesus is about forgiveness, but, and maybe you have different answers later, but I would say it's time to probably move on to a different church.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, you aren't savior. You can't fix maybe this issue if you've tried it.
Mm.
And I think some people get way more in trouble or hurt because they think, well, if I just stick around, I can expose this. And sometimes, unfortunately, if the systems or the people or the processes, you can't. So you pray, you bless, and then you move on without division and causing something like that, but do something for your heart where it stays soft. Especially if you've gone through those things.
Yeah, and like Yvonne said earlier, just starting this with prayer means putting it in God's hands.
That's right. Yeah.
Like, he's going to take care of this. He, yeah. You know, I mean, I I can think of, man, what a jerk I've been over the years. And yet God has not let me get away with it. He is, you know, he has helped me to realize where I've gaslighted people, where I've been prideful, where I have squashed people through my, you know, attempt to control or whatever. And I'm just thankful that God is gracious to me. As people have prayed for me, as they've walked away from, a church that I've pastored or whatever, that God has dealt with my own heart too. And so just trusting that God is going to do that work.
Yeah, that's good.
Can I just say too, the Bible does say that there are wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
A lot more than we talk about in church. Yeah. So I'm not saying who's who, but just be aware. Not everyone that says they're Christian and has a Bible and quotes Bible is following Jesus.
Right.
Yeah. And that is a real thing that happens. When you ask the question, how can this person who I thought was in this position do some horrible things? Sometimes it's because they're sinful and they just got into sin. And sometimes they weren't following Jesus. And the Bible talks about that as a real issue because it's still a real issue now. So that might not be every single case or a lot of them, but don't rule that out as well.
You know? I think one of the greatest evidences of being a believer is that you live in confession.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so good. You know, like, go to a church, be a part of a church where the pastor is consistently living in confession. Not things that he did 5 years ago or they did 5 years ago, but things that are actually happening right now because we're all learning and growing together.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. Okay, here's another question. We have about 8 minutes left, so let's kind of do some lightning rounds here. How do I recover from a fight where my spouse and I hurt each other badly? Woo. Mm. Okay.
Well,
spouses.
Going back to what I said earlier, you know, we're all sinful. We are all selfish. We're all going to see things with a natural bias from like our own preferences. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, kind of like what we were left with from Pastor Ryan's applications is that how can we, extend grace to one another? How can we see our faults in things? How can we have forgiveness towards each other? Because ultimately, like our relationships with our marriage, in our marriage, our relationships with our children, like those are some of the closest, if not the closest, relationships that we'll see on this side of eternity. And so with that, it is normal to have the most hurt in those relationships because you are so vulnerable, because you are so transparent. And so understanding that about each other as husband and wife, but then being able to freely then talk to each other and share how you honestly feel. And hopefully you do feel safe to share those things with your spouse because it might just be that they don't even realize how much they had hurt you and they don't even know that they need to ask for your forgiveness in that. So being transparent in that, I think, is huge.
Yeah. I would just say one of the things that we've done when we hit a wall and it seemed like, man, we both hurt each other and there's nowhere to go, like we're at a standstill. And it's really, can I just admit, it is really hard for me to get to this point oftentimes, even though I know it's the right answer. Like I'm sitting there across my wife being like, Holy Spirit, stop talking to me. I know this is the thing I should do, but I don't want to do it. Is to humble myself and pray with my wife and confess in prayer.
Wow.
Yeah. And oftentimes it's not easier, but it's more powerful to confess while you're holding your spouse's hand in prayer and not saying, God, please forgive that person for what they did, but God, forgive me for I see my thing. And somehow in the moments where we had our most painful moments of fighting and arguing, a confession in prayer and seeking the Lord soften our hearts more than another 4 hours would have done in trying to figure something out.
Right. It's good.
Wow. Mic drop. I think, we're good. Okay. Here's another question. My husband's more rational and eloquent. Yeah. Who would say that about a husband?
Hey, there are some.
My husband's more rational and eloquent. I'm more emotional, not eloquent, often staying silent. How can we resolve conflicts with our different communication styles? You know, this question reminded me of, have you ever heard of like the tortoise and the shark? You know, and
no, usually, is that like a British thing?
No, I think it's like
it's a 1940s thing.
Yeah, no, like the tortoise is the one that withdraws into their shell, and the shark is the one that keeps biting. And usually in a relationship, there's usually one of both. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So what's your thoughts? How can we resolve conflicts with our different communication styles?
This isn't always, but I think oftentimes the person that is more rational, logical, eloquent is the person that has the higher, is up in the power dynamic when it comes to conflict. Mm-hmm. And it's like, Yeah. If you're that person in your relationship or in a friendship or whatever it may be, it's important that you know that about yourself. And I think self-awareness is huge, just to know. And like, is it your intention to actually squash the other person, or do you want to hear them? And if it is, you can't be coming in with your like 5-point essay dissertation and then expect them to like communicate in the exact same way. Yeah. And like, and even to examine like, what is your real thought on an emotional style of communication, or even what emotions are? Because if you have an awful view of emotions and that's weak, that's bad, again, the poopy diaper, then you're going to avoid it. You're going to dehumanize it. You're going to devalue it. Wow. And so, yeah, I think it starts there.
Yeah. One thing that my wife and I do a lot is we talk about our fights when we're not fighting.
Yeah.
So we, you know, if one of us is the shark and one of us is the tortoise, we're willing to admit that and say, hey, how can I, you know, how can we fight better?
Yeah.
You know, could we make some rules for our discussions? Could we, you know, figure out how we hurt each other, why we hurt each other? And we do that while we're not fighting. Right. So that's awesome. The time to try and figure out how to
in peacetime.
Everyone's thinking straight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's good.
Can I just recommend a resource? You can write this down. I said this, you heard that. Really helpful book on communication styles, transformative, and you can go through it really simply. I said this, you heard that. Super helpful.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay. Ladies, do you have anything you'd like to say as we bring the podcast to a close?
No, I mean, I would say that, you know, this has been so helpful, this whole sermon series, and just kind of thinking through again, like, to the degree that we understand how much we have been forgiven and how much, you know, God has worked to reconcile us to himself, I think that will ultimately move us and motivate us to really extend forgiveness and reconciliation to others. And so that's something that I'm learning from myself and all of my relationships. And I think that it is so huge that we got to hear that this weekend.
Yeah, and just to follow up on what Dre said, to keep the company of people who believe that. Because I think so often our first thing is like, oh, I need to process, which is a good thing, but we process with people that don't believe that. And then it's like, oh, I feel validated to hold on to grudges.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
It's good. Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, you guys, thanks so much for joining on the podcast today. Thanks for your wisdom and just being transparent and authentic too. You know, our goal in all of these podcasts has been to say, we don't have all the answers, but we're just trying to, in fact, you guys need to know as listeners, we didn't sit and study these questions in advance. We're just kind of showing up and saying, Holy Spirit, how do you want us to respond? And, you know, the same Holy Spirit's in us is the same Holy Spirit that is in you.
That's right.
If you're a believer. Yeah. And so, you know, just trusting that God has what is best for you already in your heart because of what the Holy Spirit being there. So, okay, this wraps up the first part of our summer sermon series.
Yep.
So, and this week we're hitting a new sermon series called Nature and Nurture, where the first sermon Pastor Ryan's going to be preaching is on the goodness of God. So looking forward to seeing you either Thursday night or on Sunday this week. And would you please share this podcast if you think somebody could be helped by it? Maybe you would say, hey, I want you to listen to this podcast and then we can talk about it together. Because our heart is really to help each person find Jesus, see the goodness of God, and find healing both in the vertical relationship with him and the horizontal relationships with one another.
Yeah.
And that's what our good God does. So, hey, thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next time on the Sermon Q&A podcast.
That's a wrap. Thank you for hanging with us as we dive into these tough questions. We encourage you to share this podcast with those in your circles, and we encourage you to share with us any more questions that you might have. Thanks for being with us.